Thanks for sticking with The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Now, as we've been talking about, the 75th Tony Awards are happening this weekend at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. The shows in contention include the musical Six, which imagines the wives of Henry VIII performing a concert to tell their stories.
Died. Divorced. Beheaded. Survived. And tonight, New York City, we are...
And this season included a revival of Stephen Sondheim's 1970 musical, Company, although this version starred a woman in the leading character's role.
No strings, good times, just chums, company. Late nights, quick bites, party games, deep talks, long walks, telephone calls. Thoughts shared, souls bared, rugged beats, all those...
When Broadway first reopened in fall of 2021, seven of the new plays were produced or written by Black playwrights. It was a notable change for the theater industry, but one that was viewed with a bit of skepticism by Maya Phillips, critic at large for the New York Times. Maya celebrated the new works when we spoke last August, but she also noted this is an industry dominated by white artists. I checked back in with Maya to see how this season shaped up.
It has been a great, really, really packed season. It was kind of iffy at first in the fall because we were seeing a lot of shows kind of doing delays and postponements. And then we felt like it was kind of steady. Mask mandates change, vaccine requirements change from theater to theater. And then in the spring, it was just like a deluge of shows because like everything that was delayed from COVID. And then, of course, there have been a lot more cancellations and postponements. So it just like, It felt like we just had ebbs and flows over the past several months.
How'd Broadway do financially? Did those ticket sales, when it all started finally rolling in, did that make up? So much had been lost during the pandemic era.
Yeah, no, it was tough. It was tough. Like Broadway was definitely feeling some of those losses. And unfortunately, it really affected some of the new shows. And especially unfortunately, a lot of those new shows were, you know, the new Black works or, you know, new works featuring people of color or by people of color. And, you know, they ended up shutting down early. And that's really unfortunate that, you know, this was the big shot for Broadway and the ticket sales just weren't there because people weren't feeling safe. Things were shutting down. It was just madness.
That question of Black artists on Broadway had really been sort of the first moment in the context of the pandemic when Broadway had been able to respond to the movement for Black lives that had also emerged at the very height of the first summer of the pandemic. And so, you know, there was a sense that maybe there could be, and I dislike this word, I think it's overused, reckoning, but some sort of space made, some way of thinking really differently about Blackness in particular in the context of the great white way. You just talked about some of the shows closing up, but in general, as we look back now, how much of an inroad were artists able to make?
I mean, I think overall, it was great to see those shows on stage in general. Like we don't see that many Black artists on stage in Broadway. We just don't. And the fact that like we started with Passover and, you know, that was a really fantastic work. But unfortunately, it was just like a blip on the radar. And as I was saying, it's like they got their moment in the spotlight. But then ultimately, what happens to them? Because ticket sales weren't there because of the circumstances. And so now what happens? Are we going back to a mostly white season with mostly kind of traditional works? Like, I really don't want us to take a step backwards now.
Well, so what does reliably sell tickets on Broadway these days?
The big tourist attractions, honestly, like, because there's always going to be people going to see Wicked. There's always going to be people at Chicago. And I mean, even the newer stuff, like, you know, Waitress and Hadestown and whatnot. But, you know, that's not going to be the same as, say, like Dana H, which came out and was a beautiful work of theater. Beautiful. And yet, you know, it's not the typical thing you would see. I feel like you think of Broadway and you don't necessarily think of a story about a kidnapping and assault. You know, that's not really like the happy go lucky, like, let's get a matinee and like go to like juniors afterwards. Like,
right. No, I do think of the big musical that you can take, you know, let me take my olds and my youngs and, you know, all my people to, or, you know, maybe we're going to girls night out or something. And I want, you know, I want to leave singing. And that, yeah, that's pretty different.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think then, because these decisions that are made about what we'll then see in subsequent seasons, I mean, some of that has to do with a sense of how one would attribute, maybe not failures, but maybe somewhat underperformances, not in terms of the quality of the performance, but the, you know, the real sort of bottom line questions. Do you think the producers will look at this and say, okay, this was an extraordinary, unprecedented sort of moment within still a public health crisis? Or will they say, see, you just can't really get a more diverse group of playwrights and audiences, so let's go back to our standard fare?
You know, I would hope that they would think the former, but I am cynical enough that I would believe that they would say the latter. And, you know, it's just so easy to just like grab another celebrity who's like, oh, they're off of their, you know, next Marvel movie. So like, let's throw them on stage and see if they can sing and dance. that's really cynical of me, but
I mean, whoa, that escalated quickly into a very dark place.
All right. We're talking Broadway with Maya Phillips, back with more in just a moment.
And here's to the girls who just watch. Aren't they?
Nothing ever happened underground in Louisiana, 'cause they ain't no underground in Louisiana. There is only underwater.
Ouch, 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 ouch.
Okay, back now with Maya Phillips, critic at large for the New York Times. We're talking Broadway for the Tonys weekend.
Presumably, this is part of what awards can do, is to acknowledge extraordinary performances, even if the bottom line, you know, isn't always there. So what are some of your favorite shows that were nominated, that are nominated this year?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we do have a lot of the kind of standards, like the, you know, the expected nominees, but the ones that really, I really love, like, I love Six. I think that it's a fun musical. I think that it's clever. I also, of course, love A Strange Loop. I think that really pushes the boundaries of what we expect to see on Broadway and of a musical in terms of language, in terms of content, and in terms of the performances are great. You know, we had Caroline or Change. We had the Lehman Trilogy. Like, there's a lot of like solid picks in this group of nominees that I'm really happy about.
Talk to us about Six, just for folks who don't live in New York and maybe aren't familiar with this really kind of great moment.
Oh, yes. Six is a musical about the six wives of Henry VIII. And their various ways that their marriages ended, usually in death, you know, a lot of beheadings.
Right. And divorce, beheaded, died, divorce, right. Beheaded, survived.
Survived. Yes. Don't make me start singing, Melissa, because people don't need to hear that from me. Yeah, I love that soundtrack. And yeah, and it's like supposed to be like a singing competition, and they're kind of competing over who has the worst story and the most tragedy. And it's fun because they, you know, are inspired by pop idols today. Like, there's inspiration from Beyonce, and you get like, you know, a little bit of like Miley Cyrus, and you get some Rihanna, and, you know, it's just so catchy and the kind of glamour that you expect from Broadway, but in a way that feels innovative and fresh.
All right. Are there any productions you didn't like, but have been nominated?
How much time do you have?
Plenty. Let's do it. Meet me in Petty Corner. We'll spend some time. Let's go.
I really was not a fan of MJ. I thought it was just basically like a very fancy karaoke night with not very much substance. And I wasn't a fan of The Music Man. I thought it was fine, but again, very dated musical. We didn't really need it. I don't know if Funny Girl got any nominations. Perhaps it didn't, but I also wasn't a fan of that. Take Me Out, I also wasn't a huge fan, but I thought that Jesse Williams' performance was very good. I'm going to stop there.
Right. Stop there. Right. So it's interesting though, just in that moment, as you were talking about Jesse Williams. So were there any performances you saw where there were great performers who were trapped maybe in less than terrific plays or musicals?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that always happens. And I always feel really bad for these performers. But I would say that, What is a good example? So I'm not a huge fan of American Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I think that obviously there's a lot of drama there with the playwright, has not things that he said in the news and some conservative views. But I think that also there's a bit of like misogyny and a bit of, you know, like iffy politics in the piece, despite the good writing, but mm-hmm. and despite the good performances. Sam Rockwell in that play is fantastic. He's just amazing to look at. And also I'm not a huge fan of Girl from the North Country, but I think Mayor Whittingham is an amazing performer. And same in Mr. Saturday Night, Shoshana Bean. I thought the show's very dated. Billy Crystal's jokes were very dated. But Shoshana Bean, she can carry a note. So thank goodness for her.
So let's talk about what happens when you leave Broadway. And some, you know, are staying on Broadway, but then they're also touring. And you know, we can have our sort of insider perspective on a lot of these things, but some things just end up doing really well out there on tour. Any that you expect from this season shows to, you know, really make it in Poughkeepsie?
I mean, I don't even know what people in Poughkeepsie like. I don't. I can't speak for out there. I don't know. But I'm sure that, like, you know, like I'm saying, like with Six, like I'm sure that will travel many places. Like that's an easy musical to pick up and like do elsewhere. I think Strange Loop will still keep going. I think that there's a couple others too, but. You know, I think that like there are a good many picks this season that could do really well.
Let me ask this. The Tonys as an actual awards show, is it worth watching?
I mean, so this is a funny thing. I never watched the Tonys before I had this position. I think it's good to have an official kind of recognition of these artists. Like artists always deserve praise for what they do. They're hard workers. They do great work. But I think that it's so narrow. I think that there's such a specific idea of what is success in terms of these award shows. And I'm not just talking Tonys. I think this applies to Oscars and Emmys and any kind of award show. It's always a very narrow lens. And sometimes the voters, you don't know who the voting crowd is. Sometimes there's obvious like biases. And also you're missing out on a whole lot of fabulous theater off Broadway. Like mm-hmm. New York theater isn't just Broadway. And the fact mm-hmm. that like a lot of the really great stuff is happening off Broadway. So to have a night of celebration, it's great that we're celebrating theater. It's great that we're celebrating artists, but there's so much more there.
Maya Phillips, critic at large for the New York Times. Maya, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Who looks into the mirror despite the grief it brings? Who hears these sloppy S's betray him as he sings? Sometimes I feel so ugly. Sometimes I feel so smart. Some people stand together. Me, well, I stand apart. Should I give up on hoping?
That's the show, folks. But one more thing before we go. While I was chatting with Maya Phillips, she mentioned A Strange Loop.
Well, you can check out our podcast for a conversation we had with Michael R. Jackson, the playwright and composer of that most nominated show of the year. And as always, the podcast is available wherever you get audio.
Then what a strange, strange, strange lose.